Act 3.
Part 8.
I beg your pardon, Lady Bracknell, but their engagement is not acceptable. I am Miss Cardew's guardian, and she cannot marry without my consent until she comes of age. I will not give my consent.
Why, may I ask? Algernon is an extremely eligible young man. He has nothing, but he looks as if he has everything. What more can one want?
I am very sorry to have to say this to you, Lady Bracknell, but the fact is that I do not approve of his character. I suspect that he is devious.
Oh. Devious? My nephew Algernon? Impossible! He was educated at Oxford University.
There can be no doubt about it. This afternoon, while I was away in London, he was allowed into this house because he said he was my brother. While pretending to be my brother, he drank, I am informed by my servant, a complete bottle of very good quality champagne, which I was keeping especially for myself. He also succeeded in turning my ward against me. He then stayed to tea and ate every muffin we had. He behaved completely heartlessly. And what is worse, he knew that I don't have a brother, that I have never had a brother, and that I don't intend to ever have a brother of any kind. He knew because I told him so myself yesterday afternoon.
Mr. Worthing, after thinking about this carefully, I have decided to forget about the way my nephew behaved towards you.
That is very good of you, Lady Bracknell. I have decided, however, not to change my mind. I will not give my consent.
Come here, sweet child. How old are you, my dear?
Well, I am really only 18, but I always say I am 20 when I go to parties.
You are perfectly right to make a small alteration. Indeed, no woman should ever be quite accurate about her age. It looks so devious. Well, it will not be very long before you come of age, so I don't think your guardian's consent is very important.
Excuse me for interrupting you again, Lady Bracknell. I must tell you that according to her grandfather's will, Miss Cardew does not come of age until she is 35.
That does not seem to me to be a problem. 35 is a very attractive age. London society is full of women who have, by their own free choice, remained 35 for years. Lady Dumbleton is an example. She has been 35 ever since she reached the age of 40, which was many years ago. Our dear Cicely will be even more attractive at the age of 35 than she is at present. She will have even more money then than she has now.
Algy, could you wait for me till I was 35?
Of course I could, Cicely. You know I could.
Yes, I believe that you could. But I couldn't wait all that time. I hate waiting even 5 minutes for anybody. It always makes me rather cross. I'm not punctual myself, but I do like other people to be punctual. Waiting, even to be married, is quite out of the question.
Then what are we going to do, Cicely?
I don't know, Mr. Moncrief.
My dear Mr. Worthing, Miss Cardew states that she cannot wait till she is 35, a remark that tells me she has a rather impatient nature. However, I beg of you to think again about your decision.
My dear Lady Bracknell, the decision is entirely in your own hands. When you consent to my marriage with Gwendolyn, I will gladly consent to your nephew's marriage with my ward.
You must know that your marriage with my daughter is not possible.
Then none of us can look forward to ever getting married.
I cannot agree to Gwendolyn never getting married. Algernon, of course, may choose for himself. Come, dear, we have already missed 5, if not 6, trains.
Everything is quite ready for the baptisms.
The baptisms? Is it not a little early for baptisms? First marriage, then children, Then baptisms.
Both these gentlemen have said they wish to be baptized immediately.
Baptized? At their age? The idea is ridiculous and quite irreligious. Algernon, I forbid you to be baptized. My husband, Lord Bracknell, would be very displeased to hear that you were wasting your time and money like this.
Do I understand you correctly? Is neither of you gentlemen to be baptized?
I don't think that baptism would be much use to either of us at the moment, Canon Chasuble.
I am very sorry to hear you say so, Mr. Worthing. That sounds like the view of an irreligious man. I have written 4 unpublished sermons on this subject. However, since you have decided to ignore religion, for now, I will return to the church, where Miss Prism has been waiting for me for 1.5 hours.
Miss Prism? Did I hear you say Miss Prism?
Yes, Lady Bracknell. I am going to the church to join her now.
Oh, please, wait a moment, Canon Chasuble. This is something which may be important to Lord Bracknell and myself. Is this Miss Prism a rather ugly female who is remotely connected with education?
She is a very respectable lady.
It must be the same person. May I ask what position she has in your household?
I am celibate, madam.
Lady Bracknell, Miss Prism has been Miss Cardew's valued governess and companion for the last 3 years.
I must see her at once. Let her be sent for.
She's approaching. She's nearly here.
I was told you were coming to the church, dear Canon. I have been waiting there for 1.75 hours.
Prism! Come here, Prism! Prism! Where is that baby? Prism, 28 years ago, you left Lord Bracknell's house, number 104, Upper Grosvenor Square, London, in charge of a pram containing a baby boy. You never returned. A few weeks later, after a police investigation, the pram was discovered at midnight in a remote part of the city. It contained the manuscript of a very bad 3-volume novel. But the baby was not there. Prism, where is that baby?
Lady Bracknell, I am ashamed to say I don't know. I wish I did. These are the facts. On the morning of that day, a day I will remember forever, I prepared, as usual, to take the baby out in the pram. I had with me a large, old handbag in which I had intended to put the manuscript of a 3-volume novel that I had written. In a moment of forgetfulness, for which I can never forgive myself, I put the manuscript in the pram and the baby in the handbag.
But where did you put the handbag?
Do not ask me, Mr. Worthing.
Miss Prism, this is very important to me. I must know where you put the handbag which contained the baby.
I left it in the cloakroom of one of the larger railway stations in London.
Which railway station?
Victoria.
I must go to my bedroom for a moment. Gwendolyn, wait for me here.
If you are not too long, I will wait for you all my life.
What do you think this means, Lady Bracknell?
I dare not guess, Canon Chasuble. You must know that strange coincidences are not supposed to happen in families with a high position in society like ours. They are not appropriate.
Jack sounds very agitated.
The noise is extremely unpleasant.
It has stopped now.
I wish he would stop.
The suspense is terrible. I hope it will last.
Is this the handbag, Miss Prism? Examine it carefully before you speak. The happiness of more than one person depends on your answer.
It seems to be mine. Yes. Here is the damage which happened in an accident on a bus. Here is the stain caused by a drink which exploded at Leamington. And here, near the lock, are my initials. I had forgotten that I had had them put there. The bag is definitely mine. I'm delighted to have it returned to me so unexpectedly. It has been inconvenient not to have it all these years.
Miss Prism, you have had more returned to you than the handbag. I was the baby you placed in it.
You?
Yes. Mother!
Mr. Worthing, I am unmarried.
Unmarried? That is a serious problem. But who has the right to speak badly of someone who has suffered? Why should society treat men and women differently? Mother, I forgive you.
Mr. Worthing, you are wrong. There is the lady who can tell you who you really are.
Lady Bracknell, would you kindly inform me who I am?
I am afraid that my news may not please you. You are the son of my poor sister, Mrs. Moncrief, and therefore Algernon's elder brother.
Algy's elder brother? Then I have a brother after all. I knew I had a brother. I always said I had a brother. Cicely, how could you ever have doubted that I had a brother? Canon Chasuble, here is my unfortunate brother. Miss Prism, my unfortunate brother. Gwendolyn, my unfortunate brother. Algy, you will have to treat me with more respect in the future. You have never behaved to me like a younger brother should.
Well, I haven't done until today. I did my best, though.
My own... But my own what? What is your name, now that you are not Jack Worthing?
Good heavens! I had forgotten about my name. I suppose that you won't change your mind about your favourite name?
Never!
Then the question must be cleared up at once. Aunt Augusta, had I been baptised?
Your loving parents had done everything for you, including baptism.
Then I was baptised. That is clear. Now, what name was I given? Let me know the worst.
You were the elder son, so you were given your father's name.
Yes, but what was my father's name?
I cannot at present remember what the general's name was, but I have no doubt that he had one.
Algy, can't you remember what our father's name was?
Oh, my dear fellow, we never even spoke to each other. He died before I was a year old.
His name will appear in the army lists of that period, I suppose, Aunt Augusta?
The general was a man of peace, except in his domestic life. So I have no doubt that his name will appear in an army list.
The army lists for the last 40 years are here. I should have read them all. Generals. Malham, Maxbohm, Magley. What awful names they have. Markby, Migsby, Mobbs, Moncrief. Lieutenant, 1840. Captain, Lieutenant Colonel, Colonel, General, 1869. Names, Ernest John. I always told you, Gwendolyn, that my name was Ernest, didn't I? Well, it is Ernest, after all. I mean, it really is Ernest.
Yes, I remember now that the General called you Ernest. I knew I had a reason for disliking that name.
Ernest! My own Ernest! I felt from the first time I met you that you could have no other name.
Gwendolyn, it is terrible for a man to find out suddenly that he has been speaking the truth all his life. Can you forgive me?
I can, because I feel that you are going to change.
My own darling!
Letitia!
Frederick, at last!
Cicely, at last!
Gwendolyn, at last!
My nephew, you seem to be displaying signs of a lack of seriousness.
On the contrary, Aunt Augusta, I've now realized for the first time in my life the importance of being earnest.